Thank you for joining me for the East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Leslie Hunt. Today, we are going to be focusing on the news of the past week from Santan and Queen Creek. So if you're ready, let's get going. Our first article is entitled, CEO Aims to Lift Up Teacher Morale. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune, July 17, 2025. No author is listed. Arizona has long grappled with a significant teacher shortage that has deeply impacted schools. One nonprofit that has spent nearly 10 years focusing on teacher retention and evaluating the profession to inspire future educators is the Million Dollar Teacher Project. It was established in 2016 and aims to improve teacher retention through increased recognition, compensation, and support. Founder, CEO, Lloyd Hopkins II delivered an informational presentation on his program to the State Board of Education last month. Board members were receptive and showed interest in future collaboration, saying it directly aligns with one of their priorities. I'm so grateful for the work that you and your mighty team are leading, and I can't wait for us to collaborate, board member Dr. Lupita Hightower said. It really will take every single person to ensure that our teachers are retained and also recruited. Hopkins spent over a decade as an educator, but said it was his 6 years in the classroom as a teaching assistant that impacted him the most and led him to start Million Dollar Teacher Project. Being a teacher is a true skill and a talent. It's not something just anybody can do, Hopkins said. You have to have the passion and the commitment level for it. And I think we really do the profession an injustice by treating it just as anybody can do it. To elevate teacher recognition, Hopkins hosts events like Take a Teacher to Lunch, One in a Million, and Feel Like $1 Million. Compensation programs include an In Teachers We Trust Endowment Fund and Teacher Appreciation Package. For support, educators have access to classroom support teams designed, quote, to lighten the load on educators, end quote, with a technology specialist, student teacher, teaching assistant, and parent engagement specialist. Its, quote, $1 Million teacher tree, end quote, asks teachers to, quote, create a list of things for which they need support, and we share this list with our supporters, end quote. Its Spruce the Lounge program partners with schools, businesses, and the local community on creating spaces on school campuses that serve as ongoing reminders to teachers of just how valued they are. Annually, over 17,000 teachers are served by Hopkins' program. In the nonprofit's lifetime, those educators have received over $40,500 worth of supplies, seen more than 12,500 hours returned to them, and over 3,500 have been recognized through Take a Teacher to Lunch. The truth is, most teachers don't get this kind of recognition. One in a Million recipient, Paulette Aguilar, said, without the Million Dollar Teacher Project, many of us will keep doing this project without being seen, so this project reminds teachers that we matter. In 2023, Governor Katie Hobbs established the Educator Retention Task Force to address teacher turnover in schools. The task force commissioned a study by the Morrison Institute for Public Policy at Arizona State University, which published the 2023, quote, Arizona Educator Retention Report, Working Conditions Study, end quote. The study included three surveys that garnered responses from 7,788 current K-12 educators, 732 former K-12 educators, and 933 education support professionals and other classified staff. Researchers also interviewed 16 former educators who recently had left the profession and spoke to 50 current K-12 educators across 9 focus groups. The issues that arose most frequently were salary and job benefits, workload, school leadership, mental health, and state-level policies and politicization. According to the report, 69% of current educators agreed that they had considered leaving the profession in the past year. More concerning, over half of those who agreed they had considered quitting the profession stated they were at least somewhat likely to leave in the next 1 to 2 years. Fewer than 1 in 5 current educators, 16%, reported that a satisfactory salary keeps them in the profession, and only a third agreed that a satisfactory workload drives them to stay in the profession. The findings suggested that heavy workloads continue to drive dissatisfaction within the teaching profession. Researchers found that 80% of former educators left the profession due to burnout, often caused by too much work, too little time, and a lack of support. Just 7% of current educators agreed that they feel supported by state policies. Study participants recommended solutions such as offering competitive salaries, hiring more certified and classified staff, showing greater appreciation to educators, and involving educators in policymaking. Hopkins said that sustainability and consistency in the teaching profession have a tremendous effect and impact on student achievement. Research has consistently shown a link between higher teacher turnover and lower student performance. For example, a 2013 study published in the American Education Research Journal found that turnover had a negative impact on English language arts and math scores. Rhonda Bowman, a special education teacher entering her 14th year at the Alhambra Unified School District, spent two of those years with $1 Million Teacher Program's classroom support team. The first year, she had 4 interns in her classroom. When they offered to return the second year, she decided to share the resource with other teachers, expanding the program's impact even further. Knowing that this is a checkoff, your list absolutely opens up opportunities for you to relax and focus on other things, Bowman said. Having that support really does help free up emotionally to be able to do other things. Aguilar, a teacher for 7 years in the Wilson School District, was honored as the September 2024 One in a Million featured teacher and said she feels fortunate to be in a school where she feels valued and hopes every teacher can feel the same. It was very emotional and a proud moment for me, my students, and our school, Aguilar said. I truly feel loved and appreciated. What made it even better was that my students were part of everything. The community can be part of MDTP's initiative by volunteering their time or donating online. Hopkins said the need for teachers is growing and the profession should not be undervalued. $1 Million Teacher Project will continue its work on increasing teacher recognition, compensation, and support in Arizona and urges communities to do the same. We want to see the teaching profession aspirational, be revered on the level that it should be, Hopkins said, and we want to turn teacher support and recognition into culture. End of story. Our next article is entitled, New Higley Program Will Give Students a Say in Spending. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune, July 15, 2025, and written by Samantha Ray. Higley Unified students will have the opportunity to help decide how district funds are spent on their campuses in the upcoming school year. The program is based upon a growing civic education model already active in other Arizona schools called school participatory budgeting. Through school participatory budgeting, schools create student steering committees, brainstorm ideas, develop proposals, and vote to fund campus improvement projects at their schools with input from the student bodies. The student-driven civic learning process is designed to build student agency, collaboration, and critical thinking skills while creating opportunities for students to contribute to their communities and civic life. All 13 HUSD schools will be participating in the program in its debut year in the district. The steering committees for this first year will comprise members of a current leadership club such as National Honor Society or Student Council. First, they will design the process and parameters for each phase. Next, ideas will be collected from the student body for projects they believe will benefit the school. The steering committee will then develop proposals based on those ideas, send them to the district for review, and then work on a final phase. Finally, the top 5 proposals will then become subjects of campaigns, and student bodies will vote on the project they like. The top 5 Proposals are due to the district for review in November and voting takes place in February. Jeff Armstrong, Executive Director of Elementary Education, said the district aims to have all projects purchased by the spring 2026. Students can propose a variety of projects: restroom renovations, shade and seating structures, gardens, lab equipment, are all examples of past projects that have been completed through the program at other districts. Elementary schools receive $5,000 and secondary schools get $7,500 from the district's capital budget. If you ever talk to any student on campus, I think they're really quick to let you know the areas of need or the things of focus, HUSD Board President Amanda Wade said. I often genuinely love the ideas that students come up with because at the end of the day, they have a perspective of the world that we do not. The initiative, in partnership with the Center for the Future of Arizona and Arizona State University's Participatory Governance Initiative, aims to support student civic engagement. In the 2024-25 school year, 14 districts and 49 schools across Coconino, Pinal, Maricopa, Pima, Yuma, and Mojave counties engaged in school PB. The school model for the program comes from the Municipal Participatory Budgeting Model. Municipal PB originated in Porto Alegre, Brazil, in 1989 and first came to the United States in 2013 at Bioscience High School in the Phoenix Union High School District. By 2016, a partnership between ASU, the CFA, and the Participatory Budgeting Project was formed and now expands the program across more Arizona schools each year. CFA provides staff and student training, resources, and coaching throughout the school year to help schools facilitate each phase of the process. Researchers from the ASU Participatory Governance Initiative evaluate outcomes and strengthen participatory practices through data collection and academic partnership. Armstrong said the goal of the program is to, quote, empower students to be more active in the decision-making process on their campus, enhance the feeling of student ownership when they get to see the outcomes of their contribution to school improvement projects, and encourage long-term civic participation from our students. With students at the center of the process, HUSD's pilot year of school participatory budgeting is building civic skills and giving students a voice on their campuses. District leaders look forward to seeing the proposals and hope the program will grow in future years. I think it's a really remarkable program, and I'm excited to see how it goes, Wade said. Beyond that, I'm excited to see how, after this first year, we can improve as we continue. End of story. Our next article is entitled Chandler Home Buying Firm Expanding. This was posted in the Santan Sun News, July 19, 2025. No author is listed. The Chandler-based real estate investment firm, Andrew the Home Buyer, is expanding nationwide with a new partnership launching in South Carolina. It marks the company's fifth U.S. state of operation in 5 years and will initially focus on Charleston, its first foray into a small market city. Andrew the Home Buyer also pays cash for single-family homes in Arizona, Florida, Colorado, Nevada. Owner and founder Andrew Dreyer said the expansion to Charleston marks a new phase in the company's growth strategy aimed at testing its highly efficient partner-based model in smaller markets. All of our existing locations are very large markets, Dreyer said. Charleston is smaller, but the market is exciting, with total home sales up 17% since last year. We were approached by trusted real estate investors there who wanted to partner with us. The timing and fit felt right. Andrew, the home buyer, has already started closing sales since opening in South Carolina. We're building smart and sustainably, Dreyer said. Unlike competitors that have expanded aggressively and struggled, Dreyer said his company is focused on, quote, lean growth, strong local partnerships, and boots-on-the-ground human-based knowledge rather than relying on data and algorithms, end quote. We've watched companies like Opendoor and OfferPad crash because they prioritized scale over profitability and tried to be tech companies instead of real estate companies, Dreyer said. We believe you can't value a home just by looking at spreadsheets. The look and feel matters, and that requires local expertise. In Charleston, Andrew, the home buyer, has partnered with seasonal local investors who share the company's values and deep understanding of the regional market. As with previous expansions, Andrew, the home buyer, will operate from existing offices with 1 to 2 team members on the ground initially and adding staff as needed as sales grow. Dreher sees the Charleston move as part of a larger plan to widen its national footprint with a mix of large and small markets to hedge against fluctuations in any one area. Arizona is incredibly competitive, so we're diversifying intentionally coast to coast, he said. We're already growing faster than most of our competitors because we run lean and stay disciplined, Dreher added. We're not afraid to take our time in a new market. Charleston is a small test, but it's one we're excited about. Andrew, the home buyer, boasts a combination of local expertise with, quote, efficient business practices, end quote, to achieve, quote, reliable solutions for homeowners looking to sell their homes, end quote, according to a release. For more information, you can go to andrewthehomebuyer.com. End of story. Our next article is entitled AI-Driven Factory Setting Up Shop at Gateway Airport. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune, July 21st, 2025, no author is listed. An advanced manufacturing company is setting up shop at Mesa Gateway Airport, which officials touted as a $200 million investment. Hadrian, currently operating in Torrance, California, announced last week it is leasing a 270,000 square foot facility to establish a large-scale artificial intelligence-driven manufacturing and software hub known as Factory 3. It's expected to be fully operational early next year. Quote, Mesa is proud to welcome Hadrian's Factory 3 to our city, end quote, Mayor Mark Freeman said in a news release. Quote, this $200 million investment and the creation of 350 high-wage jobs reinforce Mesa's growing reputation as a national hub for advanced manufacturing and defense innovation. Hadrian's presence marks a major step forward in strengthening America's industrial base, and Mesa is honored to help lead that charge, end quote. The company's decision to locate in Mesa further establishes the city as a leading destination for innovation and advanced manufacturing, said Vice Mayor Scott Summers, who represents the area. This significant investment will bring hundreds of high-quality jobs to Mesa residents, strengthen our local economy, and reinforce our position as a critical hub in America's manufacturing resurgence, Summers said. The startup company, founded in 2020, aims to bring manufacturing back to the United States by building automated factories that can produce parts faster and at lower costs for aerospace and defense. It claims it can make spaceflight grad parts 10 times faster and over 40% more efficiently than legacy advanced manufacturing supply chain. America cannot afford to lose another generation of industrial capacity, said Chris Power, Hadrian founder and CEO. We're building the factories that will secure American leadership in advanced manufacturing and create new jobs here in the United States. China is making massive bets on industrial dominance. The United States needs to respond, not just with policy, but with production. That's what Hadrian is here to do. The company now covers the entire advanced manufacturing stack, from raw material to finish projects, and supports everything from components to assemblies to complete platforms. With its factories as a service model, Hadrian said it can rapidly scale production across key Department of Defense areas such as munitions, shipbuilding, and other high-priority programs. Hadrian chose Mesa because, quote, it offers proximity to the Phoenix Tech Corridor, Luke Air Force Base, major primes, and a pro-manufacturing environment with deep tech and industrial talent, end quote, company spokesman Nathan Yanis said. Quote, the local government was also a strong partner in helping accelerate permitting and site development, end quote. Yanis did not provide the salary range when asked for the 350 anticipated new jobs, but said the company is expanding and hiring rapidly across engineering, operations, sales, federal, and program development. He said that the compensation is competitive for high-skill positions in these fields. Hadrian hires people who have never stepped onto a factory floor and provides on-the-job training and career advancement, he added. Over 30 aerospace and defense-related companies currently occupy space at Mesa Gateway, including Virgin Galactic, which completed its new manufacturing facility at the airport last year. The facility is where the final assembly of the next-generation Delta spaceships takes place. The 3,000-acre campus with over 70 innovative businesses contains two master development parks, Skybridge, Arizona, and Gateway East. Hadrian is leveraging the region's advantages for its transformative F3 in Mesa, said Chris Camacho, president and CEO, Greater Phoenix Economic Council. The company's growth plans in manufacturing, research, software, autonomous shipbuilding, and more will be powered by the operating environment and talented workforce of Greater Phoenix, and we're excited to welcome their forward-thinking technological strategies to the region. End of story. Our next article is entitled Queen Creek, Buckeye Get First Water Deal for Housing Under New State Law. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent, July 19, 2025, and written by Howard Fisher. State water officials on Friday approved the first ever legal transfer of water from rural Arizona into one of the state's, quote, active management areas, end quote, that have restrictions on growth. The Department of Water Resources will allow Buckeye to withdraw up to 5,926 acre-feet of water a year from the Harquahala Basin in western Arizona for up to 110 years. That is enough to serve more than 17,000 homes. In the same order, the agency said Queen Creek can take up to 5,000 acre-feet a year, sufficient to build about 15,000 homes. All this comes 2 years after DWR refused to issue any permits for new subdivisions in some areas of both communities after concluding they lacked the legally required 100-year supply of water. That resulted in a lawsuit by the Home Builders Association of Central Arizona, which charged that the agency's modeling is flawed. None of what occurred Friday is likely to end the legal disputes over how the state implements the historic 1980 Groundwater Act that ties development to available water, but it could take off some pressure from developers who have argued the inability to build in the far suburbs of Phoenix has barred them from building on some of the last affordable land, which in turn has driven up the price of housing in Arizona. It is also unlikely to provide help to residents of the state's other active management areas as they start running into problems maintaining the necessary water supply for sustained growth. That's because the law the agency used to provide the permission to Buckeye and Queen Creek spells out there are only three places outside of active management areas where transfer of water is allowed. Harquahala is the largest of them. But there are concerns this approval, touted in a press release from Governor Katie Hobbs, amounts to just an interim fix to a much larger problem. Underlying all of this, the need for developers to show a 100-year supply of water to begin construction. That's not an issue for municipal and private water companies that can show they have sufficient water, including through contracts to obtain supply from the Colorado River. They are presumed to have their own assured supply, so anyone the utility agrees to serve that is seeking to build homes within that service territory is presumed to have the water required and can start construction without further approval. Queen Creek and Buckeye, however, don't have such assurances, all of which led to State Water Chief Tom Bouchotsky to conclude in 2023 that modeling shows the communities cannot guarantee there will be enough groundwater beneath them to support proposed new development for the required 100 years. But Bouchotsky said construction can take place if developers find sources beyond what's under their land, and what occurred Friday paves the way for some of that. This approval from the Arizona Department of Water Resources unlocks another water supply that Arizona can use to support our communities, economy, and way of life, Governor Katie Hobbs said of the announcement. Senate Minority Leader Pyra Sendershan acknowledged what DWR did as legal and in accordance with decades-old laws setting aside water beneath the Harquahala Valley to be available to others who can buy it up from landowners and pay to have it piped where it needed. But the Tucson Democrat said she remains skeptical of this as a real solution. "I don't think it solves anyone's problems really on a permanent basis," said the Tucson Democrat. Beyond that, she said, the whole concept of denoting one area of the state as a place that other areas can raid for water is, quote, philosophically wrong, end quote. That question of the effects also has crossed the mind of Sarah Porter. She's the director of the Kyle Center for Water Policy at Arizona State University. The total amount of water that Buckeye and Queen Creek can withdraw over 110 years is a great deal of water, she said, amounting to more than 1 million acre feet. This is an area where less than 2% of the rain that falls results in recharge. So is the transfer good news? It's good news for Buckeye and Queen Creek, Porter said. These are two of the communities that are more challenged to have continued development unless they bring in new water supplies. But Porter, like Sundra Sharon, said this interbasin transfer isn't a total answer to ensuring Arizona has enough water to continue to grow, especially with shortages of Colorado River water. Chances that the drought-caused shortages mean the amount the state can withdraw will shrink. Increasingly, there's a recognition that we need to find some other water supplies, Porter said, both for the Phoenix and Tucson areas. It's going to be incremental, she said, and this is one of those incremental opportunities. She said some other options already are advancing. One is the newly approved, quote, ag to urban, end quote, legislation that allows developers to acquire water rights from farmers who are retiring their agriculture land. Sunshuren said that is preferable to taking water from the Harquahala Valley because it ensures one area of the state is not robbing the supply from another. In fact, the new law not only limits where this new develop can occur, within a mile of the retired farmland, but also caps the amount of water that can be withdrawn. What's also likely to be a source is, quote, advanced water purification, end quote, essentially processing sewage to the point where it can be put back into the drinking water supply. While some communities are beginning to move that direction, there has been some pushback. There's something else that will prevent new construction from starting in those affected far edges of the Phoenix area. Simply getting permission to transfer the water is just the first step. State water officials said the cities will need to show they have a method of getting the water delivered, something they said could take years and millions of dollars before any building permits that rely on that water are issued. Despite that, officials of both cities said this has been years in the making and will help diversify the town's water portfolio with a more sustainable source of water that has been set aside for growth in the state, end quote, said Queen Creek Mayor Julia Wheatley in a prepared statement. Eric Osborne, her Buckeye counterpart, called it, quote, a significant development to ensure our current and future residents continue enjoying a great quality of life, end quote. Harquahala Valley landowners also will benefit financially as they get out of the farming business. This transition from farming to renewable energy was long-term planned for this area, and we are grateful to be part of the process, said David Lamoureux, who said his family has been farming in Arizona for more than 100 years. End of story. Thanks for listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona. Stay tuned for the Arizona Republic coming up next.